This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I am mindful of what I just heard regarding that prophetic vision that our brother shared just a minute ago. And I'm going to just continue a little bit regarding casting our eyes to see. These words, vision, eyes, will be actually in my PowerPoint, so I don't have to repeat. But I just sense that, really, I think the Lord wants to bring us into a new season, but we have to awaken to it. We have to awaken to it. We have to, like the song said, my wife was saying that song, Arise, is meant to be speaking to us all. And again and again, and she just said that, you know, the idea of having us to arise is to make sure that we do not allow ourselves to just miss anything that the Lord could want us to actually step up to and to step into. Life has a way of making us, dulling us up. Life has a way of just being in a routine and in a way of just making us dull, making us slumber. And sometimes it could be even landing us, like what the scripture said in Romans chapter 11, I think, if I can just read it. It's not really something that I'm going for, but I'm just saying that I think God wants us to arise. And so, opposite to it is Romans chapter 11 verse 8, for example. God was talking about Israel. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes so that they could not see and ears that they could not hear to this very day. Now that was the description of Israel. That's not our description. How many say amen? That's to make sure that... And you know what? The Lord, sometimes when people are not responding to Him, just like... Egyptian Pharaoh, when he kept on being hardened against Israel, God actually hardened, the Bible said God hardened his heart. And so he works with whoever that is actually on that. But for his church, you, I believe that the Lord really wants to open our eyes so that we see. How many say amen? Ears that we hear, amen, because there's so much more that the Lord wants us to enter in. This is the thing that I'm coming with this morning. Seeing is receiving, beholding is becoming. And my brother was saying about being like Christ. Well, that's what's about. And I'm actually addressing our own families as well as the church as a family. How your family becomes as Christians who depend. Depend on how you are to become like Christ. The idea is to become like Christ. We kind of know. And what had been on my lips very often is what we think we know, and if we're not changed by it, actually we don't really know it. And so that's one of those things that I believe that God wants His household, His family, to really come into a greater understanding of His plan and His purpose. We sang about it this morning, really. The songs are just so appropriate for what I felt the Lord has brought me here this morning. And I just feel that there's a good sense that the Lord is bringing this church into His purpose. I've been sharing with David for a little while, and he'd come and visited me a couple of times, had coffee, and he shared his heart with me. And I was thinking to myself that he's the second person in very recent times that have this particular thing stirring in him, and it's in the dimension of hungry for God for a revival. And I come to share with you, I volunteered to come this time. Do you know that? It wasn't because it was according to a what do you call it? A invitation or whatever that was part of the calendar, I happened to hear what David is saying, and I happen to have just come back from Japan, and I happen to be free this Sunday, and I volunteered to come, and I told him, it doesn't even matter if you don't give me a love offering. Honestly, because I feel a sense that I think the Lord is actually doing something in this church. So you are quite special in this way, and I like to encourage all of you to be part of it and to have a corporate vision for it, so that we don't miss out, so that we arise. I can say amen to that. And I believe you have a heart for it. My wife wants to say something.
Yeah, I believe I felt this. The picture that I saw this morning is, you know how in the science lab you try to grow a pea or a bean or something with a bit of cotton wool and water. And I believe you are at, you know, what I see is, you know, how before the bean is swelling up, and then, you know, in order for the shoot to come out, that cover, that coat, that skin of that bean break open, and then the shoot can come out. I believe that, I felt that, like my husband was saying, arise, you know, and there is the skin has been on you, and I believe the skin has broken. And I believe that the shoot is free now to rise up and be who you are that all this time. And the other thing I felt the word that came was reinforcement. I believe that in the days ahead, you will see the Lord bringing probably reinforcement to actually prop you up, to be able to be where you are placed in, you know, and for the purpose of the kingdom here in this place where you are being placed.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So you sang the song, Build the Kingdom, and it's a corporate song, we, wasn't it? I can't help but notice that, because that's something that I come with this particular sense that actually while David, who is touched by the Lord and going through whatever, that sometimes he doesn't even understand what's going through. But actually, it's not just him. How many understand that? Sometimes we have been so individualistic in our modern society. We think that that's only him. But it's not just only him. It's actually him and us all together. And if there's anything that I come here for this morning, is to tell you it's us. It's we together. And so don't just only think that, oh, that, just let him be, because you can actually not enter into what the Lord wants us all to enter into, just because we have that kind of, modern advanced thinking of individualism. I just came back from Japan on a mission trip for 5 days there, one day traveling, one day come back, and so on, so altogether 7 days, but... And I didn't realize that today is your Mission Sunday. So I guess it's appropriate that I would use a mission story to actually illustrate my point, my message this morning that I prepared for you. Can I have the second slide, please? And in this trip, which was actually a follow-up on the last one, actually was one of those things that showed me how powerful and how important it is for the church to see the realm of God. So I went looking into the Bible and checked out this idea of people of God having a sense of seeing His realm. Because if we don't see His realm, we'll be only seeing our realm. And when we're just seeing our realm, we'll be just totally caught up with our things. And we will be disengaged from what God is doing with His church. But yet, the church exists for His kingdom of heaven on earth. And the church is a corporate unity of every individual. And so, but of course, I tell you that, you know that the world system has successfully planted in everyone that independent thing whereby we just become very individual. And in some ways, it helps to protect us when the thing when the corporate goes wrong. Somebody was just telling me about how today the whole system is seeking to globalize things. Is seeking to, like certain nations, they control the whole computer system. Everyone is, everything about everyone is actually known to maybe the most powerful guy or group, or a small group of powerful people in the country. So individualism helps a little bit because you don't give yourself to it. And therefore, there's some good and bad about everything, isn't it? But for God's purpose, we have to trust God that He who holds everything, He is the one that we should corporately join together with Him. We should not fear Him as you would fear a wrongful person, a person in the wrong position of control and so on. In certain countries, they are very tightly controlled. But in our modern Western society here, We don't allow that because, so on one hand, we are able to save ourselves from, hopefully, whether it's true or not, because by the end of the day, Satan seeks to control the whole world, okay? So there is this agenda going on all the time. Globalization is actually part of it. But nevertheless, the church needs to have a unity, a corporate mentality, and so that our vision will be the body of Jesus Christ, more and more like Christ. Okay, just look at some scriptures here. And the first one is 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He's talking about Gehazi. This is Elisha and Gehazi. And he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Open our eyes. This morning, let us pray, God, you open our eyes, amen, to see what's going on. What's going on with our pastor? What's going on with that is moving around? Job 7, verse 7 was a sad one. Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath. My eyes will never see happiness again. Job is sad, all right? But let us see the joy of the Lord. The first song you sang was "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength." And I've just been invited to, not just a few months ago, they invited me for next year. And that church gave me a title. The title for the camp is "Choose Joy." I wonder why they want to choose joy. There must be something going on in the church. I don't know. We need to choose joy. Yeah, I maybe sometimes life is handing things out to us such that our joy gets dried up. Anyhow, so let's look at Psalm. It says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." Proverbs, "Ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both." Isaiah, "Your eyes will see the king in his beauty and view a land that stretches afar." Actually, as I think about it, Isaiah chapter 6, what happened? He saw the Lord. Isaiah saw the Lord. Isaiah 6, the famous scripture, King Uzziah died and he saw the Lord high and lifted up. What happened? Changed him. And I think we need to have our eyes opened. How many say amen to that? So that we will see afresh a vision of the Lord. And then we'll begin to unite together and see a greater manifestation of God. Let's have another set of scripture in the next slide. And I'm going to look at what Jesus said and Paul. Luke 10:23, "Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, 'Blessed are the eyes that see what you see.'" Now that's very important. That's very powerful. Because it's the realm of blessing that the Lord actually wants to lift his people to. How many believe Jesus is the blessing? Amen. And the gospel is the blessing. and hope and love and future and victory all comes in whether we see the realm of blessing. If not, you know, I actually have another passage of scripture and I was wanting to use it as a text, but I thought, no, I'll just want to focus on Jesus Christ. Because I was thinking of King Asa in Chronicles. I think it's 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And first 35 years of his reign, he was very good because he beheld the Lord. Last 4 to 5 years, he died at the age of 39, 40. But last 5 years, he shifted and he used his human wisdom. And he went into a treaty with King Aram. And during that time, because of that, the prophet came to him and said that, why did you do this? Hadn't the Lord given you this group, that nation, and this particular, all this time when you had beheld the Lord? But you have chosen to look in the natural. You had chosen to step into your own wise thinking and making treaties with other people so that you think they will help you to conquer some more. The Lord was sufficient for you, but you didn't think so. And because of that, he went down. And then, interestingly, he not only kept going down, he kept going down looking in the natural. So when he was afflicted, when he was in sickness, he only looked to, the Bible said in NIV, he only looked to physicians. He forgot looking at the Lord. And the ending was bad. After him was Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat actually restarted another journey of beholding the Lord. And Israel was blessed again. The realm of blessing has to do with whether our eyes are beholding God's realm. And his realm is a realm of blessing, grace, his realm of the spirit. Or are we looking only in the realm of the natural? I mean, this happens only just last couple of months ago. In March this year, this sister, I don't know whether I told you this story or not, this lady in our midst, she's a woman elder, one of our elders, and she decided that she'd retire early from the gas and fuel industry. She is very high up. She still is employed, so she's very high up in there. And now had become the advisor to the Prime Minister on some of this area that she is an expert in. But she decided to kind of like ease off. And because she helped the industry, I think, either saved or earned $1 billion or something like that. I don't know what it was. And so they just tell her, you take your time, whatever you want to do, but just make sure that you're still hanging around. You know, that's pretty good. And she's paid very well. Anyhow, she decided that she wants to go into greater involvement with missions. And she had her body checkup done in December last year and was all right. She made a decision at the beginning of the year. Come March, she had some symptoms, went to check, suddenly afflicted with 4th-stage lung cancer. Over 3 months. Where did that come from? 3 months ago, the medical checkup was a clean bill of health. When she decided to want to serve the Lord, 3 months later, 4th-stage lung cancer. Then the Lord did a miracle. Prayed, and so one night, she thought she was going to go. Lung cancer. She couldn't breathe. And she was being prayed for in the afternoon. At night, she was really in a bad shape. Took what was planning on doing some of the things to make sure that somebody would discover her. So she opened her apartment door and then take out the will and put on the table so that people can see what's going on if anything really happened. I'm not sure whether he actually did that, but she was planning on all those. And then she remembered to pray what was being prayed over her in the same afternoon. So she now, well, afternoon somebody prayed for her. But in that particular night, around about 12, 1 o'clock, she prayed for herself the way it was prayed for her. How many believe that sometimes we need to really learn how to pray ourselves? Amen? She did that. And interestingly, when she did that, after a little while, she felt like waves of wind was actually coming out of her. And she didn't know how long it lasted. And she said she didn't even know whether she passed off, passed out, died, or whatever. But next moment, a little while later, she felt she heard the bell ringing. Now that when she was suffering, it was about maybe 12 midnight, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, I don't know. She probably didn't know herself. But when she heard the bell, she realized that that was the bell from the nearby Hindu temple that will sound the bell at 6:30 a.m. every morning. Then she realized that she's still alive. But the amazing thing was, she's not only just alive, she felt so good. She felt her lungs were cleared, her breathing was clear. So she went out of her apartment and ran up and down the stairs just to test it out. Lung cancer, can't breathe, and able to run up and stairs. And she said, I couldn't even do it normally because I would have been panting in my normal state. But I did that without even panting. How many believe that's a miracle from God? The word is destiny of serving God's mission. Second example is something that is related to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 29. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. So, in the next verse, down a little bit, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. It's a very loaded scripture that we might freely understand. That we might understand what God has freely given us. Do we really understand what God has freely given us? Or do we live only with our eyes fixed on very natural things of this world? And we are just tending towards like King Asa, where you are just tending to on natural things, you know, and living our lives. Somebody was asking me, would I trade off my life as a pastor? And when I was, he referred me to my years gone by when I was a bank manager, and he said, would that have been better for you if you had stayed on as a bank manager and earned your money and so on? And I said, no. If I did that, I would be just very ordinary, and I would be probably like one of the thousands who are just in churches and sitting around, because in normal modern-day Christianity, you don't really need a lot of God. You can survive. You can get through, you know, just being the normal. But I said, I couldn't settle for that. And because I didn't, I'm actually very grateful. I've seen a lot of things. We have seen a lot of churches planted. We have seen many things. I don't want to name them because otherwise you may misunderstand that I'm bragging. But I'm not bragging. I have seen a lot of things, and the Lord has done a lot of things, much more than I could ever imagine. Another scripture is actually Ephesians chapter 3. He will do much more. But that one didn't talk about seeing. This one that talks about seeing. What eyes have seen, no eyes have seen, no ears have heard. Okay, so this is exactly, that would bring me, you know, let's get onto the next screen and And can we just look at the situation in Japan? Seeing Christ's destiny in Japan, the seeing in the realm of the Spirit. Now this happens to this Japanese pastor. He is 60 years old. And third round cancer. First round, normal. Went through chemotherapy, went through radiotherapy and what have you. Barely making through, but went into remission for a little while. So we invited him, and so he came to Malaysia. So the pastors that are involved with us, or we have helped them plant churches or do things together with them, we sometimes would, when we have enough money, we would invite them to come along and to do our pastors, once a year pastors retreat, or now we call it a pastor summit. And during the year, he was really difficult because when he came, his body was weak and he was not able to adapt to the food and so on. And then when he went back to Japan, he was afflicted second round cancer. This time, only 2 weeks to live, sent home from the hospital. Have I ever told you this story? No, okay. He was sent home with a very pessimistic prognosis. Only 2 more weeks to live. During the 2 weeks, he was taunted by the devil, who told him, and he told him that the first round he had a dream of the devil, so he had cancer. Second round, he was taunted by the devil, but warned him, if you were to give up your idea of revival for Japan, the devil said he would heal him. The pastor said he'd rather die than to be healed by the devil. And the wonderful thing was, now I must let you know, he is Presbyterian, okay? He is not Pentecostal, he is not charismatic. When both of us prayed over him, last year we actually made the trip. That was after this episode that I'm talking about. When we prayed for him, he actually fell down and couldn't, after that, they helped him to lie down on the pew. It's still a pew system, okay? And he later on, when he woke up, he said, I think my blood pressure suddenly dropped. That's why I fell down. Now, that was how he understood it. Isn't it wonderful? Praise the Lord. Very innocent about this whole thing. And when I prophesied over him, all he could think of in the 2 weeks was one particular scripture. The lady who touched the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ. And when he was sent home for the 2 weeks, his bed was near the window and there was a curtain. And so he played pretend. He played pretend. So he held his hand on the curtain. Just a picture of him holding on to the garment of Jesus. Guess what happened? Somewhere along the line, and I do not know whether it's day or night, Jesus appeared in his room. No exchange whatsoever. But after that, he became stronger and stronger. The wife noticed that he was able to go to the toilet more sprightly now. He's able to do things a little bit better. Checkups improved, readings improved. And so the doctor couldn't understand what's happening. But whatever you're doing, do some more. Because he was really getting better. And we went last year. So he was okay. He was telling us all the details of this particular episode. And then, after a little while, I think it's this year, he turned real bad. Third round cancer. And this time he said, I received a sentence to the death row in the hospital. They put him among a few others, just only in a small section there, all of them waiting to go. And he was one of those. And then on September 23rd, he told me something happened. Somebody prayed for him. He was tubes and all, totally pale, totally weak, bedridden, couldn't get up. Immediately after the prayer, He said, wind came out like a twister out of him. Have you heard this kind of thing before? I have never, but I have heard, this is second time. The first time was a lady, wind came out of her. This time, wind came out of him like a twister out from him. And after that, almost immediately, he was able to stand up. Now that was a Wednesday morning. Friday night was a special function in the church, which he was not supposed to go because he couldn't. He went. He asked for leave from the hospital and was shocked to see him in the church. Guess what? He preached with whatever voice he could, whatever energy he had. He preached, and then he went back on Sunday. He preached both morning and evening service. Went back to hospital, checked out on Tuesday until I saw him just 2 weeks ago. And when I saw him 2 weeks ago, he was so excited. They told me that he had eaten the most, and yet that was right in front of me. He ate 4 bowls of rice. Japanese eat rice, okay? But he's actually not Japanese. His parents were American missionary there, but he was born in Japan, raised in Japan, have a passion for revival in Japan. But he was afflicted. But the Lord actually caused him to just have such a strength of that understanding that his vision for the revival of Japan was God's destiny. That's the power of seeing destiny in your life. And I could see that, you know, and I didn't know all these things because when we went last year, both my wife and I went together with a small team of a few others, prophesied on him along the lines of revival and along the lines of destiny and so on. And he said, and other things too, which I've forgotten what I said, but he repeated the thing that I said, the things that I mentioned in my prophecy over him, and how they actually were fulfilled. I've never seen anybody so excited about my prophecies. I've never seen anybody who actually enumerated, and then his wife told me that this last 9 months of going through the sickness, this was your prophecy kept him alive. That astounded me. That put a fear of God in me. This is no joke. When you are trying to prophesy, it's not just play. It's not just trying to just even experiment with the gifts. And of course, we have to do all that to grow in it. How many say amen to that? I've got no problem with that. But I think God wants us to be quite, but not only responsible, serious with the Word of God. How many say amen? Including the prophetic word and prophetic vision. And so, it is like, wow, I believe the Lord is on this agenda of actually collecting a group of people in different nations pertaining to His plan to revive the land. There was miraculous healings in this pastor. And recently, of course, in the recent times, they had emphasis on the Holy Spirit Presbyterian, proud of the Word of God, proud of Bible, but yet at the same time, they discover that they have to relearn regarding the Holy Spirit. And sometimes Pentecostal churches take it for granted. And then they had visitation of angels, February 28th. These things only, I hope you would agree with me that these things indicate that God is actually on the case of this church. Not only the pastor now, this time is in the midst of a prayer meeting of 30 people. During the prayer meeting, the keyboardists have to stop or had stopped and knelt down there worshiping. There was a guitarist on this side. The guitarist was playing whatever chords that the pastor, I think he must be a musician himself, identified that how come whatever he was pressing was not whatever that came out. But the keyboard had stopped playing, but the music continued. And it went on and on and on. And you have drum set here, they don't have drums. They have keyboard and piano, okay, and some guitars. But there was sound of cymbals. There was sound of drums. Where did that come from? He was able, he had the presence of mind to click onto his phone to record that sound for 20 minutes worth of it. That's not too bad. And they were scared. There was a fear of God, but there was a reverence, there was a worship, because it was like a sense of angelic presence. Now, we had another team that had been to this place only a few months ago in July, but no mention of it. But when I went there, I prophesied over them of angelic presence. That was when they opened up, because Presbyterian would not tell people about these things, because these things might not go down well. But when I prophesied over them regarding angelic presence, they opened up and told me what happened on February 28th. It must be so significant that he got all these dates all clearly etched in his mind. September 23rd and February 28th and so on. But it showed me the corporate thing that God is doing, not just about the man. It's about the whole church now. And that's how I begin to realize that, you know what, I when I make this appointment with David to come here this morning, it's not, I just come back. I hadn't even been there yet when I was offering to David about, I'll come and help you to encourage the church. Come on, let's move together. That's the reason why I'm here today. Is it all right? Okay. I hope you understand that this is from a heart of the church as the body of Christ, not your church, my church, okay? And if the Lord wants to use your church, it will be my joy to be here to get together with you, hallelujah, to encourage you, to let you know that you're important. You got to see it yourself too, that you're important. And there are things that can be released from, and there are things to enter into that rise up to, that you can rise up to. And some of the things that I mentioned just now, you know, the Word of God says Israel was in stupor, and Asa went on to just only thinking the natural, and then he actually was into trouble. But because the whole realm of revival, can I have the next, the question I had, which is stronger at the bottom there, which is stronger, the natural or the spiritual? So vision is the key to God's reality in Christ. The idea is Christ-likeness, just like the prophetic word that our brother shared just now, being like Christ. It's true, because I sense the same thing, brother. The idea, but you know what? But the problem is, sometimes when we think of Christ-likeness, we only think in behavioral terms. To be like Christ in behavior, in your personality, or in your habits. And no, it's not all. That's only half the story. To be like Christ is to be like Christ in everything. How many say amen? Really, it's about destiny. It's about mission. It's about whether you know that actually you and I exists for the mission of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And it really is, that's it. It's not even whether or not we live or die. And if you're on God's destiny, if you're onto this whole idea of living for God's destiny, living or dying is in the hand of the Lord. Nothing to do with the devil. Even if he thinks he's going to wash you out, he can't. Hallelujah. And this guy in Japan just showed me this 3 times. You know what? He told me the 3rd time the devil showed up again and said the same thing. If you give up on revival for Japan, he'll heal him. Again, the reply is the same. Not up to you. If I die, I die in the Lord, believing still and wanting to serve. You know, he had different rounds of things, and I thank you for supporting somebody in India, and thank you for praying for him, because this guy in Japan had been through stuff. You know what? By now, and he told me privately that his messages on internet is heard. You know, they can count the clicks on who is, how many people are hearing. He says about 10,000 people in Japan are hearing his messages today. Maybe that's why the devil is really on him. Yeah? And the impact is incredible. And he now goes to different parts of Japan to meet up with these people who have been hearing. So he would make an announcement and say, okay, on such and such a date, I would like to meet you guys who have been listening to my messages. Let's have a time of fellowship together. And so he would go to Tokyo. He would go to, and you know what? Since September 23rd, he had already been out of several times now, praise God. September 23rd, did I say that? Since September 23rd, when he stood up in a hospital bed, from the hospital bed, he had already been to Tokyo. He had been to another place called Fukuoka. I don't know where that is. And different places. I find it really quite fascinating. I find it really quite incredible. But I find it very real. This thing about living for God's purpose is definitely higher than trying to meet just only our household affairs. Really. And if we want to see victory, honestly speaking, your victory is actually hooked on some very basic, simple scriptures that we all know. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You will get your victory. God's reality in victory is actually hooked on a vision for His reality in Christ, which includes behavior modification, sure. Transformation of life, sure. But definitely understanding the mission of Jesus Christ. And it's more than just our Christian church life. It's kingdom life, kingdom mission. And in that reality, you rise up in your personal victory. And in that kind of corporate identity of a people that will understand your mission and your purpose, you will actually begin to see church revival. And I define revival as becoming alive. Not in stupor, like Romans chapter 11. Not slumber. Becoming alive. I'm not saying you are, okay? But I'm saying that, like Kevin used to say, when I say the positive, I don't imply the negative. So don't think badly like that, okay? But I'm saying, well, even if you're alive, we can be more alive. How many say amen? Okay? And flourishing, hallelujah. Growth, amen. Blossoming. I think we can all do with some blossoming, amen. And then, of course, a regional revival. On bulk first, MCF first, maybe after that, the whole region here in the Dandenongs. And how about national revival? It has to be that way. But it does start with the individual that knows that his individuality is actually tied to a corporate mentality. Can I have the next slide, please? So the Christian vision is corporate, not individual. So I said there are some very familiar scriptures and kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and the whole idea of household. It's a big thing. I've written a book on it, okay? About a household, about a family. And you got Ephesians 2:38-39. Maybe we can look at that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 39. Was it 39? 19, sorry. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Okay, family of God, not individual. Okay, the individual families form the family of God. But individual families actually count, because when we look at Acts chapter 16, for example, the Philippian jailer had an encounter with God through Paul, and he was asking about Paul. He was trembling because Paul was actually supernaturally the whole place was shaken. You remember the story? The jail was shaken, and the prison doors were open, and he thought he'd die, because you know what, the prisoner escaped, and then he realized all these things are happening because of Paul and his God, and so he said, "What must I do to be saved?" Remember the story in Acts chapter 16, and Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." So definitely, I'm actually a strong advocate that your family should be well. But your family can only be weller, more well, when you are actually knowing that you and your family are supposed to be serving God. You, as for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. And you need to have victories. You need to have the dimensions of seeing the spiritual realm. You need to have dimensions of seeing the realm of the blessings of God and victory, power, Holy Spirit, anointing, and authority to exercise that authority over things that are hindering you and so on within your own family. Because that's our training ground. And if we just follow in the natural and so on and not amounting to anything spiritual, you get defeated. And if you're defeated, you cannot really be of any kingdom service. You cannot be of anything that pertains to the family of God that will rise up in victory. Or don't talk about army of God. We have shouts and we have slogans in our churches. Army of God, we sing songs. We are just kidding. Because so many people are struggling. But I think it's time for the church, like the song says, arise. How many say amen to that? Do you get offended by this message like that? I hope you're not, because I don't know you and I don't know your personal life. So if you get offended, don't get offended by me. Let somebody said, God offends the mind to reveal your heart, so that you can actually go before the Lord and say, Lord, please help me. When I'm sharing a message such as this, I'm doing this out of weakness. Because you know why I'm saying that? Because I'm actually also struggling with my own issues in my own family. I told you that I've got a special son, but still believing God to restore him. Delighted now to see him growing and more able to do things himself. My wife was just quite delighted about how he's able to, without even being told, to take out his laundry and went to do his laundry himself in the washing machine this morning before he went to church. And that's something we are proud of. So I'm not coming here with a judgmental spirit at all. I'm coming here to encourage you. Let's together, I'm going to say amen. Let's together rise up to the next generation. Let's together rise up to be the next level and be able to see the glory of the Lord touching you and your family. That the Spirit of God will rest on you strongly to release you into your destiny in the kingdom. That the church together will arise to your destiny. I don't know what's your background. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's your situation in your office or work or home or what have you. Actually, I don't care. But what I know is the word of the Lord that says that he wants his church to be a church of his destiny. How many say amen? And it seems to me, while having a few rounds of coffee with David, something is cooking here. Hallelujah. I'd like you to rejoice in that, okay? You know what? Sometimes people may even get offended by it. Because what are you on about? You're not natural. I like you better when you're more natural. But then if you're natural, you can't be supernatural. That's the problem. I think I like the idea of being naturally supernatural, but that's hard to get. I need to learn what it is to be supernatural first before I know how to be naturally supernatural. Isn't that right? You've got to really be experiencing it so much that it's natural to you. But we haven't even got there yet. I've prophesied over a number of you, and I still think fondly of some of the prophecies. And it was good when I prophesied on you guys not knowing who you are. And I can't help but believe that, hey, the Lord has got something here among you. And I just feel so good So he calls him, he deals with us as a kingdom, as a family, as an army. He often calls his people as my people. It's a corporate thing. It's a corporate thing. The Second Chronicles, everybody knows what it is, isn't it? If my people call by my name. Is there another script? Is there another slide after this? Or was it the last one? Okay, yeah. Vision, intention, means, vim. This is not original. I borrowed it from somebody. I read it. And I told the name of the author to David. Seeing is very important. And that's what I'm on about this morning. Can we see? Ask the Lord to open our eyes that we may see. See that actually he does have this thing. I think some of you see because you guys are very prayerful. I can't remember whether I prophesied on some of you or not, but definitely some of you have been people that have been recruited by the Lord with a burden to pray and intercede. And our sister is one of those, okay? So maybe you're seeing many things. Our brother was talking about what he saw. So some of you can see, but I'm not talking about some of you. I'm talking about all of us. Somebody say amen. All of us must see. See this and have this vision. And this vision sometimes is clouded by the things that we see more clearly in the natural, in the physical, than in the spiritual. So that's what I'm talking about. That's why I'm saying what I said, that we have to actually be very intentional. And vision, apart from everything that I'm saying, the vision must be looking at Jesus. And Jesus did the same thing. He had a vision of his Father. He doesn't do anything except what he saw the Father doing. John 5:19. And he had a vision of the cross that was so set before him that he went and faced it with joy. Hebrews chapter 2. Vision is vital and it's powerful. But it's not vision of my own, whether where I'm going to be, my ambition and so on. No, it's vision of Jesus. But then we have to intentionally make choices, because this is the second step to moving ahead. If we're talking about arising, the second step is we have to decide. We have to make decisions, daily decisions, regarding how should I choose to respond to a situation. The voices can be telling me this and that and everything else, but what I saw, I can't be the same again. If you saw something in the Lord, how many say amen? Isaiah, when he said he saw the Lord, he could never be the same again. You saw the galleon. You saw the lifeboat. You saw people in the wrong boat. Lord, let me see Jesus. Amen. And don't land on the wrong boat. They might be thinking that lifeboat is a smart thing. So that's why they're in there, full of them. But they ended up the wrong boat. Natural thinking versus spiritual thinking. Intentions and choices and decisions. Intentions are choices and decisions that we make. Means. Well, we always associate the word means with ways, right? Ways and means. Well, means are ways. What are our ways? Are we prone towards the natural or the spiritual? Very tricky, because some people don't like us to be super spiritual, right? And otherwise, sometimes we also can end up being hypocritical. But I think we must come to a place whereby we must settle on this. When we are trying, we are already not spiritual. The fallen nature is already not spiritual. How many know that to be spiritual is something that we have to learn? We have to learn how to be spiritual. I know that it's more popular to preach only natural things, to preach self-esteem, to preach this. All these are very natural, very popular. You can grow big churches out of that. But I think we all need to be spiritual, because there will come a point in time that you realize that it's only in the power of the Spirit that you will break through into situations that will never break, that cannot be broken by natural means, but only by supernatural means. I quoted to you two examples of terminal cancers. One of them, 3 rounds. not enough natural resources will be able to give him the life that he is living today to serve the kingdom of God. Both of these people should have died. But the Lord brought them back to life again. There could be accusations about this Japanese minister now that he is too spiritual. There could be people who have reacted in his denomination about his emphasis on the Holy Spirit. I think if he were to tell them about angels, they would freak them out. That's what he told me. That's why he didn't mention to anybody, not even my team, the earlier team that went this year. I thought that was very interesting. But it's only because when I went there and prophesied over it, then he opened up. Otherwise, it's safer to just keep quiet because people don't like it. Sometimes your background make it hard for you to step into your situation. You may say that, Pastor, you don't know my situation, my atmosphere and my environment. I don't understand. Only you understand, really. So I'm not even trying to pretend that I can understand or give you an answer. I didn't come here to give you an answer personally. I come here to present the word of the Lord to you and just trust that the Holy Spirit will take it and build a church that will be a vessel that will host Jesus Christ and bring about his plan for Australia, at least in this part of Australia anyway. Amen? Hallelujah. I think, is that my last slide? Is there another one? That's it. Praise the Lord. And what time? Exactly 12 o'clock. It must be a divine appointment. Finish right at 12. Is that when you normally finish your service or earlier? I don't know. Doesn't matter. I can't preach short messages because I prepared to come and give you something that I felt the Lord is wanting to deliver to you. I didn't come just to give you a sermon. And I hope that this will do one thing for us. Lead us to pray. The Lord, open our eyes. Amen? We might have to pray this for every one of us. Every one of us. Open our eyes. And we have to make choices. Open our eyes to see vision of Jesus in his totality. Destiny. Intentions. Many years ago, I'm not sure whether in Australia they have this brand of washing powder. It's called Vim. V-I-M. Maybe you don't have it. I was in Sydney. There was a member of the congregation who said, yeah, I know that. I said, where are you from? India. Oh, India has Vim. Malaysia has Vim. It's actually a washing powder. It's just like Fab, you know. And so it's easy for me to remember Vim. V-I-M. My vision, get it right. I still need to work on my intentions, which are my choices. And then I've got to see how my ways, my means, are actually paving the way. That's why I believe very strongly that we need to have platforms to be able to help each other grow within a family. So my wife starts a family hub. And it's in my book regarding the family hub. And up to today, we are still having that family hub. And my children are not young. The two kids that are not kids anymore, they're all young adults, is 31, and the other one is 25. And we are still doing our family time. Years ago, there was this idea of family altar. I'm sure you heard of this. But that's like very hard to continue. But when we have this family time together, it's just like I mentioned to you, on every Friday night, many people have their hubs in the pub. And they're all adults. So we have our family hub. That's when we actually begin to hear each other, talk about each other, and begin to bring ourselves under alignment to God's ways, to God's means, to God's purpose, and to see greater of the glory of the Lord. This time in Japan, my son and my daughter actually came with me. So they hear for the first time and they saw for the first time a pastor who should have died but came back to life again. They heard for the first time, because they are in Australian churches, and the churches that they go to is just like any other. No angels, no nothing, no whatever. Nice services, nice sermons. Suddenly they hear these people playing. They play back to us that recording. The sound is different from any kind of music. And that recording, angelic visitation, a recording of angelic visitations. Is it okay with you guys to talk about all these things? Or you think that I'm weird too? I hope you don't think I'm weird, because I like it myself. I've not experienced it. I like the idea that angels come into our midst. Somebody say amen. I like angels to visit my home too. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Can I pray for you? Let's stand up all together. I pray for you.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbol Christian Fellowship.